Today is November 13th, 2017. This is Jay Leesk, and you're listening to On the Spot at SharePoint TechCon. This evening I have with me D'Arcy Hess, the president and founder of DH Consulting. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm great. Hopefully I've got the recorder working properly, and this is going to be a good interview number four. So talk to me a little bit about what you're talking about today.
So what I've been talking about here at this conference is I've had four different sessions ranging anywhere between content architecture, governance, and development in the UI UX space in SharePoint and SharePoint Online. So it's been a pretty exciting conference all the way around.
Now, our experiences together, I've seen you do a lot of design work and branding, and you know, I will be honest, my first experience with design work and branding in SharePoint world was when everyone used to pull out the Porsche website, I think it was. So talk to me a little bit about what is exciting about that world today.
So the Ferrari website was originally built on a SharePoint 2010 site, and it was one of the premier customized sites of its time. Since that time, we've gone through a couple different versions of SharePoint between 2013, 2016, and also SharePoint Online and 365. So the way that we've been able to develop and the way we've been able to customize have changed significantly over time, from anywhere between the old sandbox solutions of SharePoint 2010 to the add-in model to now working with the new SharePoint framework web parts and extensions that are now available to us to provide different levels of customization.
Yeah, I got to see you present with Dave Feldman about the kind of the history of what branding and design has been like since 2010, which was a really cool presentation for me, just to be able to see the four levels that you guys presented on. So there was customization, configuration, and what were the other two?
Both the ability for extensions and then fully customized experiences.
Yeah, it was really neat to just see that whole process work through. Talk to me about the SharePoint framework and what we've got.
So SharePoint framework is the new development model for everything that you want to be able to customize. And where SharePoint framework comes into a very powerful position is that in the past, you had to be a very specific .NET developer and ingrained in SharePoint to really be able to create those customizations efficiently and within a model that worked. SharePoint framework now allows for a very proficient web developer or someone who didn't have all the knowledge of previous SharePoint to be able to come in and create custom experiences that will work in both on-prem and Office 365, meaning that a lot of the problems of the past of having to recreate new solutions each time a new version of the framework came out, you're now able to create one solution that, should you choose to stay on-prem or should you choose to move to the cloud, that same solution is going to be able to work for you and be able to migrate.
Yeah, I think one of the things that kind of blew my mind in that presentation, and I'm not referring to the hexadecimal code and how I didn't realize there was an 8-character option, is the fact that you can develop this. For example, you have a global navigation and footer that you inject into your user interface. My assumption is that same injection can be placed in your on-premise environment and in your cloud environment, giving you a true single feel across a hybrid solution.
You can, and there's a little bit different ways of doing it depending on that specific scenario. With on-prem and classic versions of SharePoint, you have a thing called JavaScript embedding or injection, depending on which version you use. And that allowed you to go ahead and inject specific HTML and elements back into your DOM and back into your layouts where you wanted them. Now, how that works in Office 365, in classic mode, you could still use the traditional injection capability. However, a new ability through the SharePoint framework extensions has enabled us to now create those experiences in modern versions of SharePoint in Office 365, which are really, really exciting.
So you've mentioned classic and modern. I really liked you and Dave had good definitions around that. I think Dave talked about server-side development not really meant for a mobile experience. Can you tell me what your definition of classic versus modern was?
So classic, in my own personal opinions, brings it back to the way we've always done things and that early 2000s web forms technology, things that were very, very complicated, were very difficult to upgrade. And then when mobility became very, very much the need for a lot of businesses, you had to spend a lot of extra time, money, and investment to be able to make those sites and those experiences mobile friendly. With modern sites now, we have the ability to have that straight out of the box. It's no longer something that a developer has to spend months building. You can create your SharePoint framework web parts using the Office UI Fabric grids to automatically make them responsive coming out. So a lot of the extra development time is now built in automatically, along with a new clean interface that's easier for users to navigate and be able to work with their content.
Excellent. Sorry, just doing a quick time check. 5:30, okay. So let me take us a step back a minute. I probably should have started with this. For people who are wondering why they care about this, why is it important for an organization to be able to provide branding on top of either SharePoint on-premise or Office 365?
So where branding comes in is branding helps to provide an identity for your organization. In most organizations, there is actually either a department brand, whether that be marketing, or specific identification for your company, whether that be color schemes, fonts, logos, things like that, that help bring that unity back into your organization. Branding can be everything from just changing the colors and adding a logo onto your site to fully customized experiences, depending on the needs of both the business and the IT capabilities to maintain it. So it really just depends, but a lot of the circumstances come around being able to provide that own identity and say, this is our intranet and this represents us.
Yeah, that's a primary thing that I think organizations feel when they move to a tool like Office 365, is they want to feel like this is my intranet. When you go to another organization, that's their intranet. It's a different look. It's a different feel. It's a different user experience. The other thing that I think is really important is the user experience. What does this organization think is important to share with their employees, their staff, their partners, et cetera?
Absolutely. The biggest thing that we forget about intranets, we spend a lot of time looking at the look and feel, when actually the look and feel needs to help present how our content relays and how we're able to find our information, how we present it, and what the messaging and story we want to tell inside our organizations are. And that the new way of the modern frameworks and the new canvases and web parts allow us to tell those stories a lot easier with less customization and a little bit more options for the users to be able to do it themselves versus having to have a developer near them at all times.
So one of the conversations that I've had a lot with people we've interviewed is what roles and experiences do you need to be in the SharePoint world or the Office 365 world? You just mentioned not having to have a developer by your side at all times. What do you think is important for people to be looking at when they're looking at a project like this? What kind of roles would you say are the top priorities?
So there's a few roles that are top priorities. One, you have to have your stakeholders. You have to have someone who's going to be that ultimate champion for the project itself. And there's two important ones. You need to have someone from the tech side, whether that be a developer or an IT stakeholder, as well as a companion and a complementary stakeholder on the business side, because you have to have both things. In the past, we would rely solely on IT to tell us what was good for us. And now, moving to the future, a lot of the business side has the budgets to be able to do this. And instead of creating rogue IT organizations where business units would go and hire their own companies or hire on their own to create those experiences that IT wouldn't do for them, it's a better experience to have the two working together. So one, the data governance, the compliance issues can be taken care of and addressed through IT, but the needs of the user and the stories that they need to tell and how the content messaging needs to come across can also have somebody to watch out for them. The developer is going to be an important stakeholder in case you do need to have customizations made, as well as a designer. Developers have the ability to think out amazing, technically complicated solutions that users may not always be the best for them and what they need to do. So having a designer or somebody to work with a developer to create those experiences is going to actually create that user experience and not just the functionality.
So when you talk about designer, you're not just talking about someone who's good with Photoshop or Illustrator. You're talking about somebody who understands the user experience.
Correct. So you can have someone that can make a beautiful picture. Mock-ups are a very, very traditional way of being able to show how that world works. But being able to have somebody who understands UI, UX, and also can understand SharePoint, knows what the limitations are, and as they're creating those experiences on paper and wireframing them out, they can understand how the functionality ties in together and the backend actual content architectures that would be involved to create that solution and bring it to life.
Cool. Well, thank you so much. This has been great. Let me switch gears a little bit. I want to ask you a little bit about your participation in the community. So if I remember correctly, you are an MVP.
I am.
And yes. What is your specific area of focus as an MVP?
So I'm an Office Servers and Services MVP through Microsoft. And my specific focus is on the branding and UI UX portions of SharePoint. So I love helping create new content architectures, that branding story, and helping people really bring their content to life inside of Office 365.
How did you become an MVP?
So I was very, very fortunate that several years ago, I was allowed the opportunity to speak at my first SharePoint Saturday down in Austin, Texas. And from there, I fell in love with the ability to speak to a group of people and see the light bulb go off when they learn something new or be able to figure something out that they may have had a problem with. I've always loved teaching and I have a background and a degree in it, and it was a new way for me to take that previous skill set that I had the opportunity to have and be able to redirect it into a new business.
What made you decide to take that step to go to that first conference and get in front of people and talk about it?
So I attended my first SharePoint Saturday, which was SharePoint Saturday Silicon Valley many, many years ago. And there was a couple speakers there that I went out to dinner with, and I was that one last attendee that had to hang out with everyone to the end. And they said, hey, it sounds like you have a story to tell and it would be really exciting. Why don't you see if you can come to this conference, and we'll be happy to help get you in as a speaker. And it kind of just fell down the rabbit hole from there. And the more I did it, the more comfortable I became. And the less I worried about feeling like I had to know everything, but I just had to understand how to tell the story and be able to provide people some guidance in the areas I did know and be able to help direct them to others who might be able to expand on that story for things I didn't know.
Yeah, that's the direction of my next question was going to be, what if you want to be able to participate but aren't really sure what your story is or how deeply technical your story may be? What advice would you have for someone?
So my first advice would be to attend or find your local user groups. There's user groups that are online. There's user groups that are just local. Get involved in your local area, even if it's just inside your own company. If you're that person who you found are a power user and people ask you questions on how to do things all the time, maybe it's, hey, how do I create this in Excel? Or how do I get this column to add up? But feel free to write like maybe a small internal blog post about it, about how you solved a particular situation or how you answered a question. It can become into an FAQ, or you have the ability to say, hey guys, maybe once a week I'm going to host a WebEx or a Teams meeting with my team and just share, hey guys, I did this and it was really exciting. And you'll find that if one person has the question, more people will as well. And it gives you the opportunity to kind of grow that base. And at the same time you grow it, you learn a lot about what other people are trying to do, how to solve those problems, and you eventually kind of grow as individuals too.
Cool. Well, DRC is in an opportunity to let you kind of plug yourself at the end of this. Would you like to share any particular contact information, websites, books you've got coming out? I don't know.
Sure. So you can contact me through my website at DRCHESS.com, or you can reach out to me through DRC Hess on Twitter. I'm happy to answer any questions and help however I can.
Great. Well, thank you so much, and good luck at the conference for the next couple days.
Thank you. You too.
This episode brought to you by Jay Leaf and Craig Denke, two guys who like to talk technology and live in a connected world. The opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the speakers only, and in no way do they represent the opinions of their employers, their customers, or their wives. This has been an On the Spot podcast production.